This is week, night number five, right? Five, yep, because then tomorrow night is six, and we'll be closing out on Sabbath evening. So this is night number five of this series. And we want to, of course, welcome our online audience. We love having you with us, and I hope that during this week of prayer especially, that you're sending in requests to us, prayer requests, your concerns. We do pray for them here. We're an active church. We're small in numbers, but we're mighty in prayer. And so we just want to welcome you here to be with us. We're so glad that you've joined us. And if you want to hear more messages like this, please join us at MiddletownPortlandSDA.org. You can subscribe to our channel. And then I also have my own private, personal YouTube channel called Path of Prophecy. Just put out a video yesterday. It's doing quite well, according to standards that I've been keeping, and really excited about that and getting the reactions there. So that's Path of Prophecy. But let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness, your tender mercies towards us, your traveling mercies, and here at this evening hour here in Connecticut, we're praying that you would bless us as we gather around your Word. It's my prayer that we would have ears to hear. For that to happen, we need your Spirit to speak to us. And it's my prayer that the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit would be with us to anoint our hearts and our ears, that as we open your Word, that our hearts would be open to you, and that these lips would proclaim the goodness of Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Forbes magazine has an article, Discover the Top 5 Reason Workers Want to Quit Their Jobs. You ever wanted to quit your job before? No, we'll leave that up into your personal category. But Forbes did some research, and author Brian Robinson wrote this in 2022. He says, as we enter Mental Health Awareness Month in May, record numbers of workers are parting ways with their employers, and they're doing it on their own terms, often for mental health reasons. Okay? Over 38 million workers quit their jobs in 2021. That's a lot of folks who apparently didn't like working where they were at. So over 38 million workers quit their jobs in 2021, causing a labor shortage that's giving workers more leverage than ever. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 4.4 million employees quit their jobs in February of that year, 2021. With the pandemic putting a focus on the fragility of life, it's left American workers unhappy and wondering if this is really how they want to spend their lives. And they are looking for new rules of engagement, the article went on to say, including higher salaries, better work-life conditions, and more flexible work schedules. Robinson went on to report that new rules of engagement, a recent study by FlexJobs, found that employees are stuck in jobs they dislike and that 30% of them want to quit. The survey of 2,202 workers gave the following top 5 reasons for quitting. And here they are. A toxic company culture. Low salary, 62% said toxic company culture, 59% said low salary, 56% said poor management, 49% said lack of healthy work-life boundaries, and 43% said not allowing remote work. So those were the reasons why people like to quit their jobs. Tonight I want to talk to you about why some of the disciples quit Jesus. They quit following Jesus. And this is found in John chapter 6, verse 66. It says this, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They quit. They didn't want to follow Jesus anymore. Question is, why? Right? Because if they could quit, is it possible that we could quit also? And for the same reasons? Perhaps. Well, let's go and find out that answer to that question, right? John chapter 6, I want to begin with a story. Jesus had fed the multitudes of people, the 5,000. In John chapter 6, it might have been the 4,000. Let's get the two mixed up there a little bit. But John chapter 6, we pick up this at the end of the story. Verse 24 and 25, it says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum." And what happened was, after Jesus had fed the multitudes in John chapter 6, I know I have the verses there up on the screen, but I'd like to turn there just for my own sake in my Bible. And in John chapter 6, the reaction was so overwhelmingly positive, for the wrong reasons, in this incident. And so what they wanted to do was they wanted to make Jesus king right there on the spot. And it says in verse 15, this is not on the screen, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed alone to the mountain by himself." And so he went into the boat, and then there was a storm that arose on the lake. And when he got to the other side, it says, "The people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples. They also got into boats and followed Jesus, came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?'" So these disciples, other than the 12, were looking for Jesus. He had a lot of followers. Very popular. John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27 says, "Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.' And then he cautioned them, 'Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him.'" Now this raised questions in the minds of these followers of Jesus. And it says, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" They were very impressed with what Jesus had done and what he had been doing in his ministry. They wanted to be part of it. So they said, "Well, what do we need to do so that we can do the same thing, essentially, what you're doing?" And here's Jesus' answer. He said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he sent." And this is where their struggle was. This is a major, major theme that John has in his gospel, is the idea of belief. That the gospel of John was written specifically so that people could establish their faith in Jesus as the Messiah. It's a very powerful gospel. They're all good. They all have their unique qualities and feature different facets of the glory of God. But John's gospel is highly recommended for people who are trying to discover Jesus, want to know more. Many times people get that gospel recommended to them. Read the gospel of John. Because that idea of belief keeps repeating over and over and over and over and over again. So that was what Jesus was admonishing these people. He says, "You want to do the work of God, believe on him whom God has sent." Okay? Well, here's how they responded. "Therefore, they said to him, 'Well, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you?'" Now, bear in mind, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. "What work will you do?" they challenged him with. And they said, "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Well, Jesus was not without an answer on this point. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now, apparently they weren't hearing too well. They weren't really listening and understanding and comprehending what he was saying, because their response to them was, well, then, Lord, give us this bread always. They were hungry for this bread where you could eat it and live forever. But they missed what he said. Jesus said, for the bread of God is he, not it. It's he, it's a person who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, finally, he cut right to the chase. Excuse me. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 36 to 38, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Again, there's that theme. The problem the Jews were having is placing their faith in Jesus as the Messiah. He was showing them the works that the Messiah was supposed to do, but they had a wrong perception of what the Messiah was supposed to do. They had an expectation the Messiah was going to be a conquering king instead of a suffering servant. It was a huge paradigm shift for them. And I talked about that last night. Basically, they were eating a highly processed spiritual food. And as a result, the people were very weak spiritually, for when Jesus came, they failed to recognize him for who he was. So Jesus says, but I say to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now listen to the reaction of his audience, these followers, the Jews. John writes this. Then the Jews then complained about him. Why did they complain? Well, it's because of how he described himself. They complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And so this is what it challenged them with, because they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? This was greatly perplexing to them. They said, we know who your mother is. We know where you grew up. You're saying you came down from heaven? Who do you think you are? It was really just racking their brain. So here's how Jesus responded to that. He said to them, do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Most assuredly, Jesus went on to say, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Now listen very carefully to what he adds to this and how he expands on this idea. Going further in verses 51 and 52, he adds, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now this is what caused them to stumble. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They took it literally. Now they shouldn't have had that problem, because the Old Testament law forbids cannibalism. In the Torah, it speaks against that. So Jesus couldn't be pitting Scripture against Scripture. Rather, they were taking what he was saying literally. And it was just repulsive to them. But listen to this, what Jesus, how he clarifies it. Verses 53 to 55, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, wow, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Wow. What is he talking about? Is he talking about things that we don't talk about? Halloween type stuff? Weird stuff? Right? Is this what he's addressing? Jesus clarified. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now there's other verses that I did not include in here. And they clarify that Jesus was speaking spiritually of his flesh and blood, not literally. Okay? Here's the reaction. It says this, verses 59 to 60. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So he taught on some Sabbath morning in the Sabbath school, preaching that day. Okay? And the result was this. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Now, here's the thing, folks. Back in Monday, I believe, I talked about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches and Father is the vine dresser. Okay? We need to abide in him, and how do we abide in him? We abide in his word. But there's going to be things sometimes that are difficult, hard sayings when we read God's word. But that should not preclude us from abandoning ship and giving up. Right? It means you have to persist. And if God hasn't chosen to reveal the meaning or understanding of that passage in Scripture to you, well, go to something that's easier to understand. But it doesn't mean you give up totally on this either. In some subjects, you may be able to have an understanding after a week's worth of study. Some you may have an understanding after 6 months of study. Some it may take 20 years or more. It'll take a lifetime. But the beauty of it is that we abide in Christ as we study his word. When they heard these things, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And as a result, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They gave up. They abandoned the faith. Now, this particular passage describes that Jesus had more than just the original 12. He had others. Okay? But they were looking for something different. They had a different expectation of the Messiah. I see that now happening in Christianity today. I have the YouTube channel. I put a video out. I get reactions. Okay? Well, there's room for dialogue. But, you know, at the end of the day, people are going to have their what's the saying? People are of the same opinion, even after having a discussion with them. But here's what Jesus said then to the 12. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." Right? And as a result, he said, "We've also come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, Forbes did research on why people quit their job, not enough pay, poor working conditions, etc., etc. But not one of them ever said, "Well, the boss speaks in riddles." Yeah. But Jesus didn't speak in riddles, he just spoke truth. And this truth was hard for them to understand because they had an expectation of how the Messiah was supposed to come. And what he was trying to get them to do is to understand how his kingdom operates and how he is going to come as the conquering king. We'll talk more about that on Saturday night. But what we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray that we're not going to abandon Jesus just because things get difficult for us to understand. That we need to pray that we're not just going to rely upon a church tradition, okay, that we've adopted. We have to be flexible. We have to be alive. God wants us to be alive because living people can change. The dead can't change. Once you're dead, you're dead. Okay? And even though some people are alive, they can be dead spiritually. And so what we want to do, the purpose of a week of prayer is to seek revival, is to seek for God to regenerate our hearts. Because the problem that we can have is we can be operating with the status quo. We did this last week. We're going to do it again this week. We're going to do it again 2 weeks from now. We're going to always do this. And what God wants to do, especially as we take special time for prayer, is to seek out God's will. Now, there's certain things that we can pray for. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But to pray like the churches of Revelation prayed, for their ears to hear what God is speaking to the church. Okay? God wants to speak to his church, even today. Okay, but what is he going to be saying? That's for us to discern that. We ask God, "Lord, lead us." And we'll pray right now. We want to remember certainly those prayer requests that I shared with you. Pray for the workers for the harvest, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We can remember Jermaine and Jernique. Okay, I just got a call from Jermaine today and his wife having some difficulties with her pregnancy down at Yale New Haven Hospital. Just pray that. But we also want to, any of our online audience, you can send in your prayer requests and we'll be happy to accommodate you by praying for you as well. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time spent before you. Lord, I sensed your spirit here, and I just want to thank you for blessing us. By faith, we come out every night seeking your blessing. We're not wanting to be actors, Father, but players. And we pray that you would give us the power to engage the community, that you would put people in our path where we can be spirit-empowered to speak to them, to comfort them, to give them hope, and reveal the promises of God to them. So we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would return us to our home safely, and we can regather again, experiencing the dawning of the Sabbath hours tomorrow evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.